you got your Bibles, let's turn to John chapter 4. Hallelujah. It is nice and warm in here. A couple weeks ago, we went and complained about this because we were all freezing. I see the fans going out there. Amen. I promise you it's warmer up here. I'm keeping my summer tan right now every Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 1. We are continuing with the series. It was not intended to be a series. Last week was intended to be one sermon I preach. And it has ended up turning into a four-week series. And we're going to be talking about, last week was about prayer. This week's about fasting. And then next week's going to be the Word of God. And then the final week will be the righteousness of God. But we're all taking this whole thought from this one passage of Scripture in John 4, verse 1, where it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, that he left Judea and departed into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." Amen. He must needs go through Samaria. And as I told you last week, I'm talking about Beyond Shortcuts is the series that we're going to be in. Beyond Shortcuts. That Jesus did not take a shortcut around Samaria, but he understood that there was a need in Samaria and that he had to do something that maybe not everybody else understood. But he said, "I cannot pass this up. I have to go to Samaria." So he must needs go. So my title is Beyond Shortcuts. Subtitle is I Must Need Fasting in My Life. We need fasting. Amen. Now I'll be honest and tell you that you probably don't want fasting. Can I just be honest with you? I heard it said it because of the times. One of the preachers got up and he said, I'll be totally honest with you. He said, I hate it. He said, my flesh hates it. He said, I don't like fasting. And everyone in the room was kind of like, like you're supposed to be encouraging all of us preachers right now to fast. But the reality is he was just being real. Because if we're all real, ain't one of us in this place that likes it. But everybody in this room needs it. There's a difference between the want and the need.
Yes, sir.
And there are things in our life that God said, you need this in your life. I'm not just going to let you get by and take a shortcut around it and say, I'll get to it if I want to. But he says, no, you need this. If you truly want to see me for who I am, then you need this. Amen. And he understood for that woman to see him for who he truly was and to help her to stop going and just taking water from a well, amen, he knew that there was no shortcuts. He had to go through Samaria to contact this woman because he understood that this woman, disciples didn't get this in the moment. But in that moment, he understood that once he talked to her and she had that encounter with him, that she was going to drop the water pots. She wasn't worried about water pots anymore. Amen. The Bible says she dropped them.
Yeah.
And ran back into the city and went beyond to the cities around her. Yeah. That the woman that was walking to the well in the middle of the day because nobody else wanted to be around her ended up turning around because Jesus said, I need to go. Because of that, she ended up turning around and going back into the cities to a place where she was once shunned. And she became the mouthpiece of Jesus and became an evangelist for him. And she began to reach people and say, you've got to come meet this man. You've got to come. Let me introduce you to this well that never runs dry. You see, there's something, that's why Jesus is saying, this is why I felt led to preach what I'm preaching, is because God is saying, if you're ever going to make a difference in this city, then you have to understand that there are some things that you're going to need in your life in order for you to be who I'm calling you to be. I must needs prayer and fasting. And fasting. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we discovered the need for prayer in our lives. Prayer keeps us spiritually hydrated. It keeps the well that Jesus was talking about when he said to the woman at the well, he said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him that shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I love her response to Jesus. I didn't talk about this last week, but I was reading through this week, reading again through this story, and this just jumped out to me. So he's telling her, he's saying, woman, listen, whosoever drinketh of this water, he's pointing to the well. He's sitting on the well. He's saying, whoever drinks of this water, you're going to get thirsty. It's going to wear out. I promise you, your need for this water is going to come back. You're going to have to come back and get some more. And then he goes on and says, but whoever drinketh of this water that I have to offer, they won't thirst again. And I love her response. Here's her response. She said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Now, not everybody responds that way. You know, you've witnessed, you've invited people to church, you've told them about the well that never runs dry. And they say, yeah, sounds good. It's good for you, but maybe it's just not my cup of tea. But I promise you, there are people out there right now, just like this woman who felt desperate. There's a reason she was out in the heat of the day. The hottest part of the day is because everyone in town, they shamed her. They turned their back on her because she couldn't get her life together. She did not have her junk together. Nope, her life was a mess. Jesus told her, he said, I know how many men you've had, and the one you're with is currently, it's not even your husband. Jesus called out her mess. I'm sure she appreciated that. But it did not stop her from responding when she said, oh, you're not here to judge me. You're here to save me. We better be careful, church, that we don't come with a judgmental spirit as somebody, but say, hey, I'm not here to judge you. I'm just simply here to lead you to the well that never runs dry. Somebody, we need to change how we reach. She says, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. See, spiritually, she'd been thirsting for a long time, but here he was. We must have that well of living water flowing out of our lives so it spills over into everything that we do. I want somebody to shout out, I must needs prayer.
I must needs prayer.
In my life.
In my life.
So we've established the power of prayer in our lives, but what dynamic does fasting add to that?
Yeah.
I must needs fasting. I can't take shortcuts around this area of my life, my spiritual walk with God. What does it mean when we talk about fasting? We often talk about crucifying our flesh. What does it mean to crucify my flesh through fasting? Well, the concept of crucifying the flesh comes from the Apostle Paul's words in Galatians 2:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In this verse, it is very clear that crucifying the flesh is not something done to the believer, but it is something done by the believer. That's important to understand. There's a lot of things that God could do to us if we simply would take the action and it would be done by us. You see, there's a lot of things we want in life, but God says, have you prayed and fasted about this? A lot of times people come to me and say, Pastor, you know, this or that, this decision, that, and I'll say, okay, have you prayed and fasted about it? Or let's pray and fast about it together. That's one of the greatest things, I promise you, as a pastor, that gives joy to my heart is when somebody actually allows me to be a shepherd in their life and allows me to speak into their life and allows me to pray and fast with them about something.
Amen.
That's how it needs to be.
Amen.
That if you're making a decision in your life and you say, well, I don't really know what to do. Pastor, will you pray and fast with me about this? When the decision came to move down here, move my family down here, I promise you, my pastor was involved.
Amen.
And if he would have looked at me and he would have said, no, I don't feel it. I believe that we would have been in agreement on that. But there are times that he's going to, that you're going to come to me and say, Pastor, I need you to pray and fast with me about this. I think it's good that we partner up and that we pray and fast together. That way when the Lord speaks it and it all comes into alignment, there's no question in your mind what you're doing is right. So we've established this and we see here that the flesh, it says those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. So look at that. Those who belong to him have crucified the flesh. Fast. Those who belong to him. I want to be one of the ones that belongs to him. So therefore it says those who belong to him have crucified the flesh. So that tells me in order to belong to him, I must crucify my flesh. So the flesh that must be crucified is the sin that exists in our fallen human nature. You can't get around it. Truth. We're all born into it. Mark 14:38 tells us, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that tells me that our flesh is the gateway to sin in our life. You see, our bodies, through sin, those not sinful in themselves, naturally crave comfort and pleasure. And they often give in to temptation, producing what we know as the works of the flesh that we find in Galatians 5:19 through 21. And it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies. Anybody ever been jealous? Outburst of wrath. Anybody ever had outburst of wrath? Don't be looking at your neighbor right now. Here's one we don't think about a lot. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not, here's the important part. You say, is all that stuff really that bad? Yep, because those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The works of the flesh. So we can see here that the temptations is what produces the works of the flesh. So we need to make sure that we watch and pray. You see how it all connects? Mark 14:38, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, why do we need to fast? Because if you don't fast and get your flesh into submission, it tells me that the works of flesh are going to be in operation in your life, which is going to lead to everything that we just read about in Galatians 5:19 through 21. And if you fall into those things because you don't fast, you don't have your body or your flesh in submission, then that also tells me if you fall into those things and you fall into those passions and those desires of your flesh, that we will not inherit the kingdom of God. And truly, that's what matters. You say, Pastor, I don't really want to get my flesh in submission. I kind of like the things I do, but I promise you, you will not like hell.
Well,
I know it's kind of straightforward, but there you go. It's black and white. The Word of God is black and white. There is no gray area. It does not say that you might not inherit the kingdom of God. It simply says that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's God's word saying this. So therefore, he's the one who makes that decision. We see that sin entrenches itself in the flesh, which becomes dominated by the iniquity of all kinds. It is the sinful passions and desires of the flesh that Christians must crucify. Let's look at Luke 4:1-2 and then verse 14. We'll jump to 14. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. I'd be hungry after 40 days. But it says in verse 14, and Jesus returned in power of the Spirit into Galilee.
Yeah.
It tells me that it does something to you.
Yeah.
He returned in power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. So the power of prayer and fasting is quite evident in the earthly life and ministry of Jesus. We can see that. But did you know that the disciples, I don't know if you knew this or not, did you know that the disciples did not fast in those days? Who would be honest to say, I didn't know that? All right. We're not going to shame you. It's not a quiz. But the disciples did not fast in those days. And when someone asked Jesus why his disciples ate and drank while the disciples of John and the Pharisees fasted often and they made prayers, Jesus let them know that his disciples would fast after he was taken from them.
Yeah.
So basically, here's what he's saying. I had this at the end of my message, but I'm going to bring it now. It doesn't mean I'm done. Just letting you know. I'm not jumping that far. But look at this. It says that he was saying that listen, in Luke 5, 33 to 39, I'm just going to read 33 and 34. Then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours, they eat and drink. It's that same thing. It's like, you know, it's kind of like when Jesus was speaking to Peter about how he was going to die, how he was going to be martyred. And you know what Peter did? Peter said, well, what about John? Well, I'm going to die for you, but what about John? It was almost kind of like, well, that's not fair. They're questioning Jesus. And the scribes and Pharisees are questioning Jesus, and they're saying, hold on, so you're telling me that John's disciples fast, the Pharisees fast, so they're asking Jesus, and the scribes and Pharisees say, why do your disciples not fast? They fast, why don't your disciples fast? And Jesus answers this way, and I'm just going to paraphrase. Jesus says, he looks at them and says, why would they fast? They're in my presence. And then he went on to say, when I leave, they'll fast. They'll need to then. They'll need to fast. But right now, you see, right now they're in my presence. So we need to understand that he's not physically here with us anymore. And that's why I can't afford to shortcut in my spiritual walk around fasting. But that's why I must needs fasting in my life. Because fasting gives us power. Because fasting puts us further into his presence. What is fasting about? What is fasting truly about? There's so many things that come with fasting. But the main thing about fasting is that it is a longing for his presence is why you fast.
Yeah.
The disciples didn't need to fast because they were walking with him day in and day out. They knew where he was at. They watched the miracles take place. But for us, we don't have that privilege to walk with him physically on this earth. So therefore, what he was saying to them, trust me, when I leave, there's going to be a need for them to fast. And that's why for us today, there is a need. It goes beyond a want. I know it's not comfortable for the flesh. I know it's probably not, you say, well, it's not good for me. It gives me headaches. And it does this and that. I know that it might put something on you, on your flesh, but spiritually you're going to walk out of that fast a spiritual giant, because you're now in his presence. You're going to know him like you never have after a fast, because you're pushing yourself to the side.
Truth.
So don't be like them and don't say, well, hold up. Well, why aren't they fasting? If I call all church fast, and you're driving down State Street, and you look over, and you say, my Lord, is that Sister So-and-so in the McDonald's line? Look at them. What are they doing? My Lord. Yeah. You're like, oh, pray for them. They're giving in to their flesh. I probably should call pastor and tell him. Lord, if that's where your mind goes, just drive straight to the church and go to the altar. He was saying, Jesus was saying to them, he was saying, worry about yourself. When I want them to fast, they're going to fast. And when I leave, they're going to need it. So just worry about yourself. So if you see somebody in the drive-thru, just worry about yourself. It's going to be all right. I promise you. I promise you it's going to be all right. So we see here that I got completely off track here. Hallelujah. So he implied that they could gain through fasting, what they could gain through fasting, or what they would lose by his bodily absence. He was saying, listen, there's a time coming where they're going to need a fast. But right now, I got them. Amen. They're with me. So then in a parable, he made it clear that fasting is a spiritual discipline, which we've been talking about disciplines. It's the purpose of this whole study that we're doing is the discipline. We want to discipline ourselves spiritually that we can grow. I can't discipline you, right? You have to discipline yourself. It's the same thing. You can discipline. We call it disciplining our child. We're going to discipline them. But I promise you, if you have a strong-willed child who does not want to change, you can discipline all day long for them. Some of you parents, I know you know. You know. You got that one. Mm-hmm. Yep, you're eyeing them right now. Uh-huh. You can discipline them all day long, but if they don't want to change, they're not changing. It is not until they are willing to discipline themselves and they align their disciplines up with your discipline. It's not until we discipline ourselves according to the Word of God and His disciplines that you will actually see change in your life. You will never change until you can discipline yourself to line up with the disciplines of God. It has to happen. It has to happen. That's why there are, hallelujah. That's why there are 30 and 40 some year old people that are still living the life of a child because they never chose to follow the disciplines of their parents and their life has fallen apart. It's a wreck. There's a lot of spiritual people that have been in this 30, 40, 50 years and they're still wandering around like chickens with their head cut off, not knowing where they're going and what they're doing, and said, oh, God doesn't answer prayers. I just about to keep on just going through the motions, going to church. It's because they never lined themselves up with the disciplines that God has been trying to put on them. Maybe it might be through a pastor. It might be through the Word of God. It might be through fasting, but they've chosen not to do that, so therefore they are not disciplined. They're unruly like a child still. Fasting is a spiritual discipline whose primary appeal would be for those who wanted to be more empowered by the Holy Ghost. You can't expect to be empowered by the Holy Ghost if you're operating in your flesh and there's no discipline in your life. Luke 5:33-39, it says, and they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often, make prayers likewise? And we'll just jump down. We've already read this. So he says to them, they'll fast in those days when I'm gone. And he spake also a parable unto them. He said, no man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent and the piece that was taken out of the new garment not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better. So we must understand this morning what Jesus is trying to tell us in this parable. He is simply saying this, the wine is not the issue. There is never a shortage of the Holy Ghost, but the bottle is the issue. So I ask you this morning, is your vessel new or is your vessel old? Hear me. When fasting is a part of who you are, you're preparing a new wineskin in your life. You're preparing a new bottle. You are cleaning out sinful vessels and you're making room for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people that want a fresh outpouring, but they're not willing to make room. They're not willing to get new wineskins. They want God to pour it out in who they used to be. God says, I will not mix who I am with who you used to be. But somebody, I'm trying to call somebody out of the life you're living into this marvelous light that you can say, I want new wineskins so I can have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, so I can have power in my life, so I can walk in authority. Somebody needs it. I must needs fasting.
My God.
I have to have it. Have to have it. Hallelujah. The Pharisees fasted twice a week, but their fast had no spiritual impact. But it was simply a memorial. It was tradition. Tradition said Moses ascended Sinai on a Thursday and returned on a Monday. His 40-day fast produced more than just a holy glow on his face. It resulted in the giving of the law. The Pharisees fast on Mondays and Thursdays, but it was a powerless ritual that gained them nothing more than weight loss and the attention of their peers. I want to stop right there for a moment and teach us something real fast about fasting. I know I'm kind of preaching today, a little preaching, teaching, but we need teaching. Sometimes I look at preaching as the sword. It just kind of, sometimes, you know, people say, you stepped on my toes. I'm like, I'm pretty sure the word took your feet off this morning. But there's also times that you've heard me mention before that the word can become the scalpel. And this is just my opinion, but I believe it becomes the scalpel when you teach it.
Yeah.
Because it's slow and it works in right around. I used to work in surgery for about 3.5 years. It was amazing to watch the doctor go in and he knew something had to be removed. He didn't just walk up and be like, okay, here we go. I got the opportunity to work in the heart room for about a year. It was amazing. And I would watch them when they would do the heart surgeries. And when I say they bring out a saw, they bring out a saw. And they take it right at the top of the sternum and they're cutting down. You realize if they go too deep and they're careless, you're in trouble. But I would watch them slowly just take it down real precise until it was to the bottom where they needed to be. And I watched them open it up so they could go in and they could fix the blockage that was eventually going to kill that person. That's what teaching does. If you allow it. You see, the patient has to choose to allow the doctor to work on them. You can say, no, I just want to die. And some people do, and they walk out those doors, and they never come back. And some people come and sit on these pews, or chairs, whatever they are, and they sit here every Sunday or Wednesday, and they don't actually let the word work on them. They're just here. You need to let the word work on you. You said, but Pastor, it's uncomfortable. You think I don't know that? It's uncomfortable to preach it sometimes. Because I'm also preaching to myself. You do know I'm not perfect. I live in flesh too. So a lot of times when I'm preaching right to myself. Like, Lord, I need to hear that. I need your word to just cut me open and do a work today, God. I need this. But it says that it was basically for them, it was weight loss. It was weight loss and the attention of their peers. So this is what I want to teach us. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. It talks about fasting is to be seen only by God. It says this in verse 16. This is the word of God. Moreover, when you fast, not if you, when you fast, do not look like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. Ugh. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. What do you mean? But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. But your Father who is in secret, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. You see a lot of people getting rewarded, and you see people getting blessings, and you see God's hand over somebody's life. It's a good chance that in secret they're fasting and praying. Yep. You say, but what? I've never seen them fast. Because they're doing it biblically. All right? They don't come in here on a Sunday morning. Oh, man. Whew. Nobody's saying a word to them. Oh. Oh, man. Whew. Oh, Brother Donald. I'm feeling so weak this morning. Oh. Time is at 10 o'clock. Oh, I've been fasting since 9. Oh, my God. I think you're going to help me to the altar. I don't know if I can make it. Oh, my Lord. Whew. And that you can just see it all over their face. You're like, are you sick? Oh, no. No. Are you sure? Because you look sick. No, no, no. I've been fasting. Been fasting. And listen to what Pastor's been preaching about fasting and fasting. Man, wow. That's awesome. That's my Lord. People start feeling bad for you. Like, I don't think you're going to make it. People come get me during service while I'm worshiping. Pastor, I think we need to go pray for them. I don't know if they're going to make it during service. They've been fast. They've fast breakfast this morning. They're about to die. I know it sounds funny, but it's biblical. The Bible tells us, wash your face. Quit trying to impress people. You've got one person to impress. I don't need to know when you're fasting, okay? There are some of you in here that I'll tell you the right way to do it. And I'll just tell you the right way to do it. It's going to give you a good example. And I think it's good we can do this. I'm going to give you an example of one of our leaders. That's all right, because this has happened multiple times. Brother Donald, I appreciate you. I appreciate all of our leadership, but I appreciate how you've handled this, because there have been times that I've asked you, you've been in the office working. And I said, can we go get lunch? He says, sure, Pastor. And I said, we get there. That's just water, Brother Donald. He said, yes, sir, that's all I want today. He didn't have to tell me a word. Did not have to tell me a word. We've went on conferences. We've been to church conferences with this amazing team that we have here. And they fasted during conferences. And we're all eating lunch. And some of them sat there, don't say a word. It's not to build themselves up. They don't need to say anything. And I honor and respect that more than anything.
Yeah.
Because they're doing it biblically. We must do everything biblically. You do not need to impress anybody. You do not need to go to work. If you go to work, and I know how it works, stupid devil. Of all days, when I worked at the hospital, and I said, oh, it's going to be my fast day. And I'd walk into that break room. Some stinking sales rep brought not in Donut World for breakfast. And I'm like, devil, you are a liar. But I didn't sit down at the table around my friends who were eating those fresh apple fritters that I love so much. I didn't sit there and just put my head down. Oh, God, help me. You guys, I'm fasting today. This is so hard. Nope. You know what I did? I removed myself from temptation. And I would just walk out of the break room without saying anything. And I would just go about my business, and I worked my 8 hours like I was supposed to with a smile on my face, even though my stomach was like, you want an apple fritter? That's what my stomach sounds like. I don't know about yours. Mine's a baritone. Yep. It gets your attention real quick. I better move along. We'll be here all day. The 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness was not without purpose. It produced a dimension of power that he could get in no other way. And he left a pattern for us. You see, here are some of the benefits of Jesus fasting. Fasting enabled Jesus to use the scriptures with great authority. Oh, yes, it did. Luke 4. You can look at Luke 4, and it says, and the devil said unto him, that if thou art the Son of God, command this stone to be made into bread. He's fasting. The devil knows when you're fasting. He sees it. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil continues to keep going at him. Well, if you're this, if you're God, if you're this, you're that, then do this. Temptation. Amen. If he could tempt Jesus, don't think he can't tempt you. Well. He was tempting Jesus, but every single time he would try to tempt him, Jesus would come back, for it is written. He would bring the word of God into the equation. So when you are fasting and crucifying the sinful nature of your life, don't be surprised that when Satan comes at you and tells you that he's going to destroy your life, that God's word will start flowing out of you because you're fasting. And when he looks at you and he says, you are not going to make it any further. I promise you what's going to take place if you're crucified your flesh. 1 John 4 and 4 is just going to begin to flow out of you. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when the devil looks at you and says, you can't do it, you'll never do it, Philippians 4:13 is going to come out. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. All things. And when he gets in your head and tells you that life isn't going to work out for you, and if you had just been wallowing in your sin, that you might believe it. But when you've been fasting, Romans 8:28 comes to your mind. And we, and I know, and Satan knows, and even you know, that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. When you fast, the word of God becomes alive in your life. You don't have to stop and start, let me go get my word. No, the word just begins to flow out of you. So where's that coming from? Because you're crucifying your flesh. You're removing the blockages that's been killing you. And life starts flowing out. Remember that river? Remember that well? It's been stopped up. But when you fast, it just flows. And the devil can say whatever he wants to say, but the word's going to come back. Yeah, leave me alone, Satan. I ain't got time for your nonsense. What else it did for Jesus? Fasting heightened Jesus' awareness of his identity and purpose. Jesus understood who he was. I'm hurrying. And he clearly understood his purpose. But even Jesus had to fast and get his flesh under submission so he could be reminded of his purpose in the moments of weakness and when his flesh wanted to give up. How do you know that? Matthew 26:19. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He then makes it known to his disciples in verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus understood this. Fasting gave Jesus power and anointing to preach and to liberate. We see that prayer and fasting enables us to see the unseen, to hear the unheard, to know the unknown, to understand the things of the Spirit. The Bible becomes a living book to us in that moment. I know I've been going a while. I'm going to wrap it up right here. If you allow me. She doesn't know I'm going to do this, but Mae, would you come up here real quick? I love my girl. You can sit right here. Gentlemen, that's not how you do that. It was a tablecloth. Thank you for redeeming me. See, I love sitting down with you and eating dinner. And we get to do that a lot. Last night we sat around and had a good time and ate dinner with not just four rambunctious boys, but we added a nephew last night to the table. Five rambunctious boys. But I love every moment of it. We've laughed. We've had great times. I love doing that. But especially, I love when we get to do a date night. Just the two of us. Which doesn't happen that much. We typically don't sit this far away from each other. Boys, I love you. But there are times that I want to just sit at a quiet table with your mama. With no distractions. No noise. Those moments are important to me. And those moments need to happen. They need to happen. We make an agreement that we don't talk about church situations or life struggles. We tell each other, like, we're not talking church business. It's date night. We've not always kept that. Because that's just who we are. But we try to make that agreement. We're not going to talk about church situations. We're not going to talk about our struggles. But we're simply just going to enjoy each other's undivided attention. And just enjoy each other. But I figured something out. Is that in those moments, my emotions and my feelings for my wife, they're strengthened in that moment.
Yeah.
Of just one-on-one time. But when that date night moment ends, and we step back into life together, when we walk through that front door, and we say, "Dear God, what has been going on in here?" Oh, yes. You parents know. You see, when we step back through that door, life throws its struggles at us. And its valley moments are pressing on us. That temporary date night moment, sitting at that table, is not the only thing that's going to get us through this. Those temporary moments might seclude you from life and reality for a moment. But I promise you that when you step back out into reality, it's all going to be there waiting on you. Right. So I understand that just going into a place and just just sitting at a restaurant and spending some time with you. I love those moments, and it strengthens us. But I understand this one thing, that temporary date night moment in sitting at that table is not going to be everything that we need in order to keep our power and our strength and our focus and everything, our love, everything where it needs to be. But it is when I am willing to push myself away from the table. It is when on a night at home or a day when I'm fasting that I can look and she's, oh Lord, she makes hillbilly food, folks. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I grew up in the city. I didn't know all about this stuff. What? Beans and cornbread will change your life. I'm talking to you right now. I know I am. Anybody fasting today? I'm just torturing you today. You get those pork chops or those ribs and you take a bite of that green onion right before you take a bite of that. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Those moments I love, but I've got to be able, if I love her and I love my boys, I have got to be willing to push myself away from the table because I love spending one-on-one time with her. And when I do, we grow closer. But there's one thing that I understand that's not going to sustain us. That is not going to keep us going. But it is when I'm willing to push myself away from the table and I'm willing to take my chair and I'm willing to go to an altar and sit down face to face with him. And I'm willing to say, God, I sacrifice everything. God, I push myself away from that table so I can sit down at a spiritual table with you. God, because when I sit with her at a table, I grow closer to her. God, our love begins to grow stronger. God, in those moments where everything is moved away, and God is saying, won't you just simply push yourself away from the table and come sit at an altar with me and push yourself away from the food and let fasting come into your life, because when you do, you're going to grow closer to me in that moment. There are those in this room, it's been a long time since you've taken that seat. And he's never moved. He's been sitting there waiting. He said, you got up a long time ago. It's been a long time since I've dined with you. It's been a long time since you pushed away from the table in your flesh. And your flesh has been growing, and who you are and the sin has been growing. He said, but I've never left. I've never left the table. I'm still sitting here waiting on somebody. I wonder if there's anybody this morning. I know it's a prop. I know it's just a chair. But I wonder if there's anybody this morning who is desperate for his presence and says, I must need fasting in my life, Pastor. I wonder if there's anybody who would come up here or run up here and get in that chair and have a seat with the Master this morning. I wonder if there's anybody else in this room that says, I got to come to an altar this morning. I've got to get some discipline in my life because I want to fast. I want to sit across the table, not just from my family, but I want to sit across the table from my God. I've got to hear what he has to say. I got to hear his heartbeat. God, give me discipline in my life. God, I can't take shortcuts. I can't shortcut it because I'm shortcutting my family of your presence. I'm shortcutting myself of power in the Holy Ghost. God, I'm shortcutting the lost souls of this city when I take a shortcut around fasting. God, I must need fasting in my life, God. I don't want to just get by. I don't want to just get by anymore, God. God, but I want to push myself away from the physical table, God, so I can enter in to that place where you sit and I can sit down across from you, God, and I can dine with you, God, and your word can be poured into me. Come on, man cannot live by bread alone. You'll die. We must need fasting because it brings his presence. It brings his power. It brings freedom from sin. You have to have it in your life. You have to have it in your life. You have to have it. Come on, somebody enter into his presence this morning. Right here at an altar. Somebody cry out, God, I need disciplines. God, discipline me, Lord. Let my disciplines line up with your disciplines. Let it line up with your word, God. God, put a hunger in me for fasting. Put a hunger inside of me, Lord. God, to push away from the things of this world. God, put a hunger inside of me, God. God, because I long to be with you. I long to be used by you. God, I want to be powerful in the Holy Ghost. God, I want to have authority, Lord, in the Holy Ghost, Lord. God, but it's going to require pushing yourself away from the table this morning. Oh, I must need fasting in my life. I can't bypass it. I can't shortcut it. I have to have it, God. It's not optional, Lord. It's not optional. Come on, everybody, talk to him right now. Talk to him right now. It's just you and him. Come on, you're sitting at that table. You're sitting at that table. He's sitting across from you. Come on, just begin to talk to him. Pour your heart out to him. Come on, if there's things you struggle with, things you deal with, I want you to begin to speak those things. God, God, I've been struggling with this. I've been struggling with that, God. God, help me, Lord. God, to get some discipline in my life. God, help me, Lord, to be willing, God, to sacrifice, God, some meals. God, to sacrifice, Lord, some things in my life, God. God, so that well can begin to flow like it was. God, I pray it right now. Come on, fasting will reveal what needs to be removed. Fast and open your eyes up and allow the Lord to reveal what needs to go. Come on, it's all about getting closer to Him. Oh.